but good for you guys.
Am I missing good stuff up here?
Grace asks and joins us.
Also, side note, be very proud of me for climbing that ladder and not dying.
Very proud. I smile as Grace sits opposite of us, so she can see us, and takes her sunglasses off.
I don't know how I'll get down.
Me going down a ladder doesn't sound like a good idea. You can slide down the slide, Jenna suggests. And just like that, my anxiety is in high gear again.
I'll help you down the ladder, I offer immediately.
Grace just laughs, oblivious to my inner turmoil, and changes the subject.
Did you hear that Louise Summers sold her clothing boutique in town?
I did, Jenna says with a nod. Didn't she retire?
Yes, and Willa Monroe bought it. She's doing some remodeling, and I saw her in the grocery store last week. And she said she's going to update it, make it super pretty and trendy, bring in some higher-end clothing lines. I'm excited to see what she does.
I always liked Willa, Jenna says with a smile.
Who is Willa?
I ask. Willa and Max used to date in high school. Jenna replies and shakes her head. My stupid brother let her get away. She's widowed now, with a little boy, Jack.
He's adorable, Grace says. Has Max seen her since he's been home?
I doubt it, Jenna replies and looks around to make sure her brother isn't in earshot. I told him to call her, but he's a stubborn ass.
Well, she's having a fun grand opening party next Friday evening, and I think we should go.
That sounds fun, I reply. I'm in. Me too, Jenna adds. Cunningham Falls can use a trendy new clothes store. Let's plan a night of it. Are you guys up there? Jacob calls out from the lower deck.
We are,
Grace calls back.
We have food down here. I'll come get you, love.
Before Grace can reply, he scaled up the ladder and scoops her up in his arms, kissing her sweetly. How are you? He asks.
I'm just fine. I wasn't going to try to go down the ladder without you.
Good girl. He nuzzles her neck, then walks to the ladder and sets her down, wedging her between him and ladder, helping her down. He's sweet, Jenna says. And hello, British accent.
I know, it ups the hot factor, I reply with a laugh. Let's go eat, I'm hungry. We shimmy down the ladder to find everyone back on the pontoon.
There you are, Brad says and pulls me to him for a kiss that makes my toes curl. You look beautiful in this suit.
Thank you. What is there to eat?
Sandwiches, salads, and cookies for dessert. Oh, and some fruit. Max and Brad give each other a hard time about their water skiing adventure.
Jenna, Jacob, and Grace are chatting in a corner. And Mary and Bruce are eating, watching us all with content faces. Are you happy to be home? I ask them.
Always, Bruce says with a wink. We hardly left for 30 years because I always worked so damn much. It's been good to see some of the world with my bride.
I smile, watching how sweet Brad's parents are with each other. What must it have been like to grow up in a house that was functional? I glance at Brad and Max, both still shirtless and in their drying swim trunks, chatting and laughing while eating their sandwiches. It's clear they all get along well, that they care for each other. The wealth that Max has come into in the past few years hasn't changed his dynamic with his family. And let's be honest, the two Hull boys standing shirtless together is a sight to behold.
What are you thinking over there? Brad asks, pulling me out of my own head.
I'm just sitting here, I reply, and grin when he takes my hand and pulls me into his lap, nuzzling my ear with his nose. That tickles, and your parents are right there.
They've done this many times, he says and winks at me. Are you having fun?
Absolutely. It's the perfect day to be on the lake.
Do you want to go for a run on the tube after lunch?
No, thanks. I wrinkle my nose, feeling the anxiety rush up inside of me. But I act calm and collected in front of his family and friends. I don't think I want to get my hair wet.
Seriously?
Seriously. He frowns, watching me closely.
You brought a bag that has stuff in it for you to swim.
I just decided I don't want to swim today. Please drop this. But you can go if you want to. I'll watch, I continue, You're being silly. You're a great swimmer.
Just last month, we went kayaking up at Bowman Lake and she fell in, he tells the others, making us all laugh. But she pulled herself right out. You're not afraid of the water.
Not that water. The next thing I know, he's standing with me in his arms, walking to the edge of the boat.
Don't.
I'll go in with you. Before I can react, he's jumped in with me in his arms and I'm completely submerged in the water, kicking and swimming back to the surface. I immediately swim to the ladder and pull myself out of the water on the verge of tears.
There, he says, still treading water. Now you're wet.
Get out of the lake, please, I say, my teeth chattering. Someone wraps a towel around my shoulders. I'm so scared, so angry, that I can't see anything other than Brad pulling himself out of the water.
Not cool, man, Max mutters, but my eyes are pinned to Brad.
What? Brad asks. I was just having fun with you.
I told you I didn't want to swim.
He cocks his head to the side, narrows his eyes, and props his hands on his hips. He's not going to ask me questions in front of the others, which is a relief because I don't want to have to explain in front of the others that he just took 10 years off my life. I climb the ladder to the top deck and hear the engine roar to life. The boat pointed to the dock. Great. They probably want to dump me off, and I don't blame them. I'm such a downer. Not to mention, this is not the impression I wanted to give his parents. What a mess.
Hannah, will you please come inside with Jenna and me? Grace calls. We want coffees and need to use the bathroom.
I sigh in relief and climb down the ladder, not looking at Brad, and follow the girls into the house. When they head to the kitchen, I find the closest bathroom, close the door, and let myself have a meltdown.
Oh my God. I could have died. Not because of the swimming thing, but what if the electricity thing had happened again? And what if it happened when Brad was in the water and it killed him and I had to watch him die? I can't do this. I can't do the relationship thing because he's going to die eventually. Whether that's today or 30 years from now. And I just don't think I'm relationship material. At all. I'm trying to calm myself down, but now the thought of losing Brad is stuck in my head. And my heart is beating so fast I'm pretty sure I'm having a heart attack. I take a deep breath and stare at myself in the mirror. I look ridiculous with wet red hair, pale skin, scared eyes. Why am I always so fucking scared? There's a knock at the door. Han, let me in. I close my eyes and pray for strength. Of course Brad would follow me. I swallow, ignoring my pounding heart, and wrap myself in strength I don't have before opening the door and looking up at him. Hi. Sorry, I'm coming. I try to brush past him, but he grips my shoulders and gently pushes me back into the bathroom, shuts the door, and cages me in against the vanity, making me look him in the eyes. Talk to me. About what?
You're pissing me off, Hannah.
Yeah, well, that seems to be going around today. I need to get back to the girls.
Fuck that, you're going to tell me what in the hell happened on that boat.
Well, I was thrown in the water against my will and my hair got wet.
No means no, Brad. I figured the chief of police would understand that.
His eyes narrow and look a little hurt, and that just makes me feel guilty. He didn't deserve that, and I can't look him in the eyes anymore.
Bullshit. He says at last and tips my chin up. This isn't about your hair. You're lying to me, and you know how I feel about that.
Well, that's the only answer you're going to get. I push out of his arms and march for the door. But when I turn the knob, I pause, lowering my head in shame. This isn't who we are.
I'm scared,
I whisper, then latch the door again and turn to face him.
I was so scared.
Of what?
Of the water.
You can swim.
You're not listening to me.
I'm sorry. He looks genuinely baffled, which I understand. I'm baffled by me all the time.
Tell me. Make me hear you.
I don't give a shit about my hair, and of course I can swim. It's not that I'm afraid of water. I'm afraid of this water. This lake. I step to him, needing him to understand. I've been terrified all day. Actually, I've been afraid since Grace mentioned that we'd be on the boat today. All I can think about is someone is going to dive in and get electrocuted.
Oh, sweetheart.
I know you said that it's okay, and I believe you. I know that you would never put anyone at risk, but I'm afraid of it anyway.
Why didn't you just say something?
Because it's ridiculous. I feel a tear fall on my cheek, and I'm just mortified. And I'm meeting your parents for the first time, and I want them to like me. I don't want to feel different. I know that I'm safe with you always, but I can't get it out of my head. I do not want to be in that water. On the water, fine, I can do that, but not in it. And it scared the shit out of me when you were in it, because if something were to happen to you...
Shh,
he says, and pulls me against him hard, holding me so tight I don't know when I end and he begins.
Stop thinking that way. I'm not going anywhere, sweetheart. I'm right here. And if you don't want to go into the water for any reason, you don't have to. I'm sorry I didn't listen.
It's not your fault. I shouldn't have said that.
No, you're right. No means no. I don't think you're different or weird. You feel the way you feel, and that's okay.
His hand is circling firmly over my back, soothing me. And it's the best feeling in the world. I'm calmer now. The giant butterflies in my stomach are gone. And I was in the water and survived.
Do you want to go home?
He asks. Do you want me to go home?
Hell no. We have prime seats for fireworks.
He smiles and brushes his thumb over the apple of my cheek. I want you to stay with us. And I want to enjoy the rest of the day with you. I want that too. Grace said something about iced coffees? He chuckles and kisses my forehead, then my nose, and finally my lips.
You can have whatever you want as long as you stay.
Chapter 10. Hannah.
You cheated, Jenna yells below us. I'm sitting on the upper deck of Grace's house, my second iced coffee sitting at my elbow. And Brad and I are listening to the others battling it out over ping pong below us.
I had no idea that people put ping pong tables outside,
I say, and laugh when Max swears ripely.
Did you see that patio? It's huge.
Brad slips his hand over mine and gives it a squeeze.
Do you feel better?
I do, I reply truthfully and lean in to kiss his arm. Thanks.
Brad! Jacob yells up. You need to come down here and try to beat Grace. She's beat everyone else.
I'm fine up here, Brad calls down.
But I shake my head. You should go play. I'm seriously great. I'm enjoying the view and my coffee.
You're sure?
Completely sure. He kisses me quickly and then hurries down to play.
Okay, Grace, it's on,
I hear him say. And I smile at the sound of his voice. I do feel much better. Talking to Brad helped. I should have just told him how I felt this morning, and the whole embarrassing episode never would have happened. I live too much in my own head. I overthink and it gets me in trouble. I need to trust, to loosen up, to go with the flow. I smirk because going with the flow is probably not something I'll ever do. But I am learning to trust. I check my phone to make sure I haven't missed any calls from the hospital, just before Mary joins me on the deck. Do you mind if I sit with you for a while? She asks. I gesture to the seat that Brad just vacated and offer her a smile. I'd love it if you join me. It's sure a beautiful day today, she says, and takes a deep breath, watching the boats zip around the lake. And this is a wonderful view.
It sure is, I reply.
Are you from here?
Born and raised,
she says with a nod. I remember some 4th of July's that had snow.
No way.
A flake or two, yes. Nothing that stuck, of course. plenty of rainy days. You just never know what you'll get around here.
Where are you from, Hannah?
Kansas, I reply and frown. It's very different from here.
Yes, it is. I have a friend from Kansas. How long have you been in Cunningham Falls?
Just about 5 years. I point out a bald eagle that swooped over the lake, looking for his dinner. A friend of mine took a position here a few years before that, and I'd been to visit. I never considered practicing in a small town until the position came open here, and Drake called me about it. And then it seemed like the best idea I'd ever heard.
This town gets under your skin, Mary agrees. Of course, there are pros and cons to living in a small town.
Of course, but the pros far exceed the cons.
I'm glad you think so, she says with a warm smile. After a quiet moment, she says, I like the way Brad looks when you're around.
How does he look?
Happy. Content. She blinks rapidly, as if keeping tears at bay. I don't know that I've ever seen him look at anyone the way he looks at you.
And cue the butterflies again.
But in a great way this time. Every woman wants to hear that the man they're in love with looks at her in a special way. Of course, she continues. Being married to a cop isn't easy, and being married to the chief of police is as challenging as they come.
Oh, geez, I say, and laugh her off easily. We aren't anywhere near marriage.
Still, you're with him, and I can tell you from experience that it's a job all in itself. His hours are erratic. He sees horrible things. Some he'll tell you about, and others it's best for both of you if he doesn't. He will be tired and moody, and there will be times when it feels like he's more married to the job than he is to you. I know you're not married, but I see the way you look at each other, and I know love when I see it. You haven't said it yet, have you?
I shake my head no, and she keeps talking.
That's okay. It's good to take it easy and let your relationship progress naturally. But you need to know, going into it, that you're not just in a relationship with a man. He's an important man, and in this town in particular, they will feel like they own him. You'll share him. The statistics for marriages lasting for cops aren't good. Mary, I mean no disrespect, but I'm going to interrupt you for a moment. I hold my hand up. And when she stops, I shake my head. I know who he is. And I would like to add that as a doctor, my schedule is just as erratic. I see horrible things. And my patients do believe they own me, and that I should be at their beck and call. I get it. I like to think that I get it as much as anyone who isn't a cop can.
You're right, she says, watching me carefully. You would, wouldn't you?
You know, my Bruce's daddy was also an officer here in Cunningham Falls, and his mom tried to warn me about these things right before we got married. I didn't listen to her. I was so in love with that man I couldn't see straight. And it seems to have worked out well for you, I point out.
40 years of marriage, she says with a nod.
40 years, and only the past 3 of them have been somewhat normal. But I wouldn't have traded it. What he did was important. He kept people safe, and he saved lives. I'm so proud of him. When Brad told us that he'd applied for the chief's position when Bruce announced his retirement, I tried to talk him out of it. I knew that if he wanted a family, it would take a toll. But he's so much like his father. She shrugs as if to say, "What are you going to do?" He's doing a good job, and we are so proud of him. I am too. Her head whips around to stare at me for a moment. And then she smiles. I think you mean that.
Of course I do. He's an amazing man. I'm damn proud of him. And I'm enjoying spending time with him very much.
I don't know what the future holds for us, but I'm going to continue to enjoy him for as long as I can. No relationship is easy. And we both chose professions that are harder than most. But I also think that means that we're dedicated. I don't see why that wouldn't also include being dedicated to each other.
I like you, Hannah. Mary is smiling now, almost smugly.
Really?
because it sounds like you're trying to warn me away from your son.
Not at all. I just wanted to see what you're made of. I think you can stick up for yourself just fine. Not just to me, but more importantly, to the townspeople.
You'll need that backbone where they're concerned.
They don't scare me, I reply honestly. Good.
Don't scare her off already, Brad says as he joins us. I defeated Grace, but it wasn't pretty.
He did not!
Grace yells up to us, making us all laugh. When are the fireworks? I ask, looking at the time. It doesn't get dark here until after 10.
They wait until then, Brad says. I have to have my radio on just in case. I have sheriff deputies helping my guys tonight, but if anything major happens, they might need to reach me.
I get it, I reply. What do we do in the meantime?
Eat, Jacob says from the doorway. I've just had more food brought in.
I'm going to gain 20 pounds today.
I laugh and jump up from my chair. But I'm not complaining. Also, I think I'll go down and kick some ass at the ping pong.
You think you can beat me?
Brad asks with a sexy brow cocked.
Hell yes, I can beat you. And Grace too.
Let's do it, Brad says, and rubs his hands together.
I follow him down to the patio below where everyone else is hanging out, eating fresh Mexican food from a local restaurant.
How did you have this delivered on a holiday?
I ask Jacob, immediately reaching for a plate.
I own the restaurant, darling, he replies smugly,
and steals a chip off of his wife's plate.
That'll do it.
I load my plate with tacos and chips, gratefully accept a Mexican Coke from Max, and take a seat next to Jenna.
This smells so good.
Smell good,
Jenna says with her mouth full, making me grin. The food isn't just good, it's to die for. And I eat more than my share. When I can't shove another bite into my mouth, I stand, stretch my arms over my head, then saunter over to the ping pong table and pick up a paddle.
Let's do this, Hull.
He's sitting on the couch, watching me with hot green eyes. The kind of hot that tells me he wants to bend me over this table and do things to me that are definitely not appropriate for mixed company. I toss him a sassy grin.
Well, are you coming?
I'm coming, he says,
his lips twitching with humor.
I just worry about this.
Why?
I don't want to embarrass you in front of our friends.
Aw, aren't you sweet?
I stick my lower lip out in a pout, bat my eyelashes.
So chivalrous.
Just looking out for you, sweetheart.
Thanks, but I've got this. I serve the ball perfectly, and he volleys it back. But he's no match for my backhand, and he misses my next shot. He whips those hot green eyes up to mine and looks genuinely surprised.
You're good.
I know. I serve again, and before long, I win, not even giving him a chance to score on me.
Who's next?
Me!
Grace jumps up, stretches her arms across her body, and takes the paddle from Brad, who is scratching his head and watching me like he doesn't know me at all, which only makes me laugh.
How did you get so good at this?
Grace asks as she serves the ball, and I volley it back to her. We volley back and forth more than a dozen times before she gets the point. Grace is good at this.
College, I reply. I didn't play beer pong, I played ping pong.
After a ferocious match, I win by just 2 points.
You are a worthy opponent, Grace says, bowing before me.
As are you, I reply, bowing in return. And then we dissolve in a fit of giggles, hugging each other.
How did you get so good?
I practice a lot. I may be clumsy, but this seems to be one of the things I'm good at.
I'll play with you anytime.
I give her a high five and then head straight for the food again. Ping pong makes me hungry.
I have dessert coming down soon,
Grace says as I take a bite of a chip. Cheesecake.
Good Lord, Jenna moans, covering her belly. Give me 30 minutes to get this food baby to settle.
Same, Max says. And then bring it on.
The rest of the evening is full of laughter, ping pong, and food.
Stolen kisses. Conversation. I notice both of Brad's parents watching us closely, but kindly, throughout the hours that follow. It's a relief to know that his mother likes me. I mean, we're grown adults, but having their approval means a lot. Suddenly, just before 10, Brad's radio goes off.
They're going to start the light show, Brad says.
Let's go up to the deck, Grace says with excitement.
We follow her up and all lean against the railing. Brad walks up behind me and wraps his arms around me, caging me against the railing. Just as the first fireworks burst into the sky, he lays his lips against my ear.
Thank you, he murmurs as the others ooh and ah over the lights in the sky.
For what?
This. All of this.
He kisses my cheek, and then we're silent, watching the sky light up, surrounded by those closest to us. It's been the best day that I've had in a very long time. Maybe ever.
The boss man wants a word,
my nurse Melissa says. She's poked her head around the door jamb of my office.
We had a long one today, and it's only late morning.
You look tired.
I am, she says with a shrug. I hate it when the fourth falls on a weekday.
I know.
I smile, feeling the effects from being up late last night myself. Thankfully, our patient load is light today. She nods and offers me a grin.
You have a patient in room 4, and then you're done until after lunch.
Cool. I grab my stethoscope and my computer. I'll go talk to Jim and then see my patient. This shouldn't take long. She nods and I walk to Jim's office. He calls me inside.
Hi there,
I say, and sit in the chair in front of his desk.
Good morning,
he replies with a kind smile. Jim has been an OBGYN in Cunningham Falls for 40 years. He's no longer delivering babies, but he's still the head doctor in this practice, and I respect him immensely. I've learned so much from him since I came on.
Hannah, we need to talk.
Okay.
I've decided that it's time for you to stop taking call 24/7.
I sit quietly, blinking at him.
Sure, I've heard him wrong. Did you hear me?
I don't think so. He repeats himself, and I frown. I don't understand. Have I done something wrong?
Not yet,
he says, and takes his glasses off, rubbing his eyes.
But you work too much, Hannah. There will be no more taking call on your nights off.
My patients hire me to be there when their babies are born, Jim. It's important to them that I follow through with their care from beginning to end.
I get it, he says, raising his hands in surrender. I know what you're saying. But Hannah, we have 5 perfectly capable doctors in this clinic who can all deliver babies. It's too much for you to work 24, sometimes 48 hours in a row, and then show up here to take appointments as well. You'll burn yourself out before you're 40, and I won't allow that.
I didn't realize that being dedicated to my job was punishable, I reply, feeling my whole body tighten defensively.
I'm not punishing you, Hannah.
He sighs and watches me for a moment.
You're a wonderful doctor, and having you on staff has only strengthened this clinic. I value your education and your knowledge, but you put in too many hours. One day, it won't be safe. You'll miss a step out of pure exhaustion, and I have to think about the welfare of you and our patients. I'm not telling you that you can't work. I'm telling you that you can't work on your days off.
Which is kind of the same thing, I reply. I love this job. This is who I am.
No, this is what you do.
He smiles kindly and leans back in his chair.
In fact, I've been looking back over your schedule, and it's come to my attention that you haven't taken vacation time in 2 years.
I was going to last summer, but Dr. Preston had her car accident, and I had to fill in for her.
I remember, he nods, and it was appreciated. I want you to make up for it this year.
Okay?
Today.
Excuse me?
Beginning today, I want you to take that week's vacation, paid. In addition to the other vacation time you have coming this year.
I frown. Jim, I have 2 patients ready to have babies in the next few weeks.
and if they go into labor, there are doctors here to do that, Hannah.
So I have to take a week off of work.
He laughs.
No, you get to take a week.
Starting now.
I have a patient in a room.
Already been taken care of, he says.
We help each other around here.
We're cool like that.
I'm sorry, are you sure I haven't done something wrong?
No.
He shakes his head and holds my gaze with wise gray eyes.
You're an excellent doctor, and I want you to be here for many years. The rest of your career, if I can manage it. And to do that, I need to protect you from burning yourself out.
What am I supposed to do with all of this time? I ask.
That's up to you, he says, and laughs when I just stare at him, dumbfounded. Hannah, this is a good thing. You'll have more time to live your life.
Huh. I narrow my eyes on him. If you're really trying to squeeze me out of here, I'll put up a fight.
I hope so. Now, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Not until next Wednesday.
But it's Tuesday.
Exactly. You'll be off from this Tuesday until next Wednesday. A whole week.
I guess I could hike, I reply, thinking out loud.
Yes, that sounds great. Take a trip. Go hike. Go camping. Hell, go to Europe. I don't care.
Just don't come here.
You're going to miss me, I promise him. And he rolls his eyes. It's a week, Hannah.
Might as well be a month. Chapter 11. Hannah.
I'm sorry to bug you at work, Abby says on the phone 20 minutes later, just as I walk in my house. But I have a question.
I'm not at work.
What? Why?
What's your question?
Right. She clears her throat. I have an extra pair of concert tickets to see Maroon 5 next month, and I'm wondering if you'd like to go.
Is this really a question? Of course I want to go.
Cool. Now, why are you not at work?
I sigh and pull a bottle of water out of the fridge.
Because I was sent home. I sit and tell her everything that Jim just said.
I mean, what am I supposed to do for a whole week?
Are you kidding me?
I frown at the phone.
No, I'm not kidding. A whole week? What the hell? Hannah, you're supposed to relax. Have fun.
I've wanted you to do this for years. I can hear how tired you always are.
I think it's awesome that Jim wants you to have a normal life.
I'm a doctor, I remind her. We don't have normal lives.
Well, now you can.
It's a lot of time to fill. I don't know what to do.
I can think of a dozen things. Go to the movies, a short road trip, get a massage, get your nails done, schedule happy hours with your friends. But first, I think you should go buy lunch for that sexy police chief of yours and take it to him. That would be fun.
That's not a bad idea. I turn the idea over in my head and feel a grin spread over my face. I'm actually kind of hungry.
See?
You'll find things to do. If you can't think of anything, text me and I'll help.
Okay. I laugh and grab my handbag. Thanks for inviting me to the concert. Send me the details.
Will do.
Now, go feed your cop, and then maybe have sexy time in his office.
She hangs up, and I'm suddenly excited to be off of work for the day. I swing into Little Deli and chat with Mrs. Blakely while I wait for our sandwiches to be made, and then drive over to the station. As I'm walking inside, a moment of doubt creeps in. I didn't call ahead. What if he's not available?
Or not here at all?
I should have called. But when I walk inside, I see Brad standing by his assistant, giving her a folder, and he glances up, smiling when he sees me.
Hey,
he says as I approach.
Hi,
I brought lunch.
Really? I'm starving.
No calls, please.
He shows me into his office, closes the door behind us, and pulls me in for a long, hot kiss. The kind of kiss that makes me forget about everything else. The kind of kiss that makes a girl's panties wet.
What was that for?
I whisper when he pulls away.
Lunch.
He winks,
then takes the bag from my hands and leads me to a sitting area in the corner of his office. There's a love seat, a chair, and a coffee table.
I thought you worked today.
I thought so too. For the second time in less than an hour, I relay the conversation with Jim and then bite into my turkey on rye, moody all over again. I think it's fantastic. Everyone thinks it's fantastic except me. I don't need a week off.
Maybe it'll feel good,
he suggests, and pulls the tomatoes off of his sandwich. No tomatoes. This whole learning someone else thing is way more complex than I ever imagined. I just don't know what I'm supposed to do with so much downtime, I reply, and then shrug. I guess I can repaint my bathroom or something.
You'll fill the time, he says with more confidence than I feel. And you can spend this evening with me.
I can't. I shrug when his eyes whip up to me. It's grand opening night at the new dress shop downtown, and we're making a girls' night out of it.
Grace and Jenna?
He asks. Yep. And I'm actually excited for it. We don't do it often.
Cool,
he says, and keeps eating his sandwich. When he's finished, I straddle his lap and kiss him hard, wrapping my arms around his neck. His big hands slide over my sides into my ass.
I'm not fucking you 20 feet from my guys, he says, breathing hard.
I just want to cuddle, I reply. Get your head out of the gutter.
Sweetheart, you've pressed that sweet pussy of yours against my cock. My head is squarely planted in the gutter until you move. Not that I want you to do that.
I just wanted to feel you, I say, and hug him close. And thank you for being so laid back, so calm, so steady.
That's sexy. I can hear the smile in his voice.
Actually, it is sexy. I pull back to look in his eyes. You always keep it together and you don't get angry over silly things like girls' night out.
I would be an asshole if I did that.
I've known some assholes, I reply. And I'm just glad that you're not. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Also, I'd like to come to your house later after time with the girls, if you don't mind.
I don't mind, he replies,
and pulls me down for a long, sweet kiss. His lips are soft, but they know exactly what they're doing as they take command of mine, in a lazy, sexy dance.
In fact, I'd very much enjoy your company tonight.
It's settled then. I grin and climb off of him, then gaze around his office, looking for something specific.
What are you looking for?
Handcuffs. I glance down at him, catching the raised eyebrow. I think you should bring some of those home with you.
Do you?
Oh yeah, that would be fun. A smile spreads over his sexy lips, and I can't help but lean in to kiss him again. Enjoying the smell of him and the way his face feels in my hands. But if I keep this up, we really will fuck 20 feet away from his guys. So I back away and gather the mess from lunch, toss it away, and retrieve my handbag. I'll see you later then. I guess I'll go clean my closet.
See? You're already getting projects done.
I'd rather be delivering babies. I shrug and wave. Then leave his office. Maybe he's right. Maybe it'll be a good week. It sure was nice to be able to bring Brad lunch in the middle of the day. And I have a girls' night out tonight without being on call, so that's a bonus. I can relax and enjoy without worrying about being called in for a delivery or an emergency. I don't remember the last time that happened. And, just for shits and giggles, I'm going to take Abby's advice and schedule a massage for this week. Maybe everyone's right. Maybe this week won't be so boring after all.
This place is so great, Jenna says shortly after we walk into Dress It Up, the new clothing boutique owned by her friend, Willa. Jenna is perfectly dressed today in a short sundress with a fun hat and strappy heeled sandals. She looks like she walked out of a freaking magazine. She has beautiful things, I agree.
and smile when a beautiful, tall brunette comes walking toward us. She pulls Jenna in for a big hug.
I'm so happy you're here, Willa says. I was afraid no one would come.
Why? This is the best, Grace says, also hugging Willa.
And this is our friend, Hannah Malone, who is also the best.
I've heard your name around town, Willa says, shaking my hand. It's nice to finally meet you.
You as well, I reply. Your shop is lovely, and I'm not just being polite. The place is magical. She's gone with a gray, white, black, and pink theme. The floors are reclaimed barnwood. Chandeliers dripping with crystal hang above us. It's the epitome of fancy, stylish, and just flat-out pretty.
Thanks, she says with a smile and glances around. It's been one big project, but I'm happy with it.
I have clothing lines from New York and London, as well as some smaller labels that I love.
And let's not forget the shoes.
No, let's not, Jenna says with a laugh. Shoes are my love language.
Do you have flats for those of us who might kill ourselves otherwise? Grace asks hopefully.
Of course, Willa replies. There's something in the store for everyone. There's wine floating around along with some light appetizers. Help yourselves and have fun. That's the most important thing. And let me know if you have any questions.
Willa waves at another group of women who just walked in.
Excuse me, ladies.
She's nice, I say as I watch her walk away.
Why did Max dump her?
Because he's stupid, Jenna says, handing me a can of Coke.
But I surprise her by shaking my head and reaching for the wine.
You never drink.
I do tonight. I'm not on call, so guess what? I can. I take a sip and enjoy not feeling guilty about having fun. Let's browse, ladies.
Let's spend some money, Grace corrects me.
And we begin to wander through the shop, enjoying the beautiful things Willa has for sale. I love living in a small town, but it's so hard to shop, I say, and pull a summer dress off the rack. It's nice to have a trendy place in town.
You're so right, Jenna replies, and points to the garment in my hand. That dress is a must-buy.
I nod and drape it over my arm. Over the next hour, we drink more glasses of wine and make piles of clothes that we're going to buy.
It's fucking amazing and so damn fun. This bikini is everything, Jenna says, showing me a turquoise two-piece.
It will look amazing with your hair, I agree. Then show her a t-shirt that says coffee before talkie. I need this.
Oh, yes, that's completely you, Jenna replies with a laugh. And look at this one.
I don't trip. I do random gravity checks.
That's Grace, I say, adding it to my pile. She has to have it. She needs this one too, Jenna says, showing me a t-shirt that says, Rocking the Spoiled Wife Life.
Yes, perfect.
Hannah,
Grace says loudly, rushing from across the store, holding something in her hand.
You have to smell this.
But before I can, Grace trips on her feet, falling right into me and knocking her head against my cheek, making me see stars. On my way down, she grabs my arm, trying to keep me up. But we both end up on the floor, a tangle of arms and legs, and glitter falling from the air.
Oh, shit, she says, snorting. I hope I didn't ruin any clothes.
You just ruined me, I reply. We're both giggling like crazy.
Did I hurt your face?
I don't think so. I touch around my eye with my fingertips. It's a little sore, but not bad. Are you hurt?
Nah.
She shakes her head and glitter falls out of her hair.
That was a bath bomb, by the way.
It exploded. We look at each other and dissolve into giggles again.
Willa's going to be pissed, Grace says.
No, I'm not, Willa says from behind us.
Just don't touch anything else with all of that glitter all over you.
We look at each other and laugh some more. We laugh so hard that I can't catch my breath. My sides ache. I can barely breathe, but I can't stop laughing.
We look ridiculous.
Finally, once we've all paid for our things and left Dress It Up, we stand on the sidewalk, wiping the tears from under our eyes. That wine was strong, I say, once I catch my breath. And you never drink, so your tolerance is low, Jenna replies. You probably shouldn't drive. I stare at her for a moment and realize there are two of her. No, definitely no driving for me. I'll walk.
It's raining, Grace says.
I glance around and then rush out from under the awning, letting the rain fall on me. Oh, it's nice. She's so drunk, Jenna says to Grace, making me laugh.
I'm not that drunk.
Okay, I am. We can take you home.
I'm not going home. I shake my head and turn a circle in the rain.
But then I'm dizzy, so I stop and just let the water fall on me.
Where are you going?
To Brad's.
I smile at Jenna.
I know you don't want to hear this, but I'm going to have some seriously hot sex with him tonight.
Good for you, Jenna says and then wrinkles her nose.
Ew.
Nope, it's not ew.
It's wow. It's holy shit. I didn't even know my pussy did that.
Holy shit, she's funny drunk, Grace says, laughing.
Come on, drunk girl. We'll drive you to Brad's. Actually, I really do want to walk, I reply.
Don't look at me like that. I'll be fine. I'm really not that drunk. And it's not cold.
I don't know, Jenna says. Brad would kill me if he knew I let you walk to his place when you're like this.
I won't let him kill you, I swear.
I hug them both, then wave as I begin my walk to Brad's house. It's only about a mile from downtown. I can certainly walk a mile. But when I get about halfway there, the sun decides to go down. So now I'm walking in the rain and the dark. But I don't care. I love it here. I love my friends, and I love my boyfriend, and I love the rain. The rain that is currently falling even harder, so hard that it's difficult to see in front of me. So I duck under the branches of a big maple tree and wait for a few minutes, hoping it'll die down a bit. It doesn't rain a whole lot in the summer in Montana, so when it does, it's warm and fast. This will pass.
Are you okay out there?
Someone yells from their house.
I'm fine, just waiting for a break in the rain.
I call out in return. This must be a good answer because they don't say anything more. Finally, the rain calms to a heavy sprinkle. So I set out to Brad's house again. Rather than just dusk, it's pitch dark when I make it to his house. The front windows are lit from inside, with the shades pulled. His porch light is on. I wander up the sidewalk, climb the two steps to his porch, and then sit in his porch chair, breathing deeply. I'm almost sober now. But I want to be all the way sober when he opens the door. I don't need to make an ass out of myself in front of him. No way. After three deep breaths, I stand and knock on his door, excited to see him. I'm not prepared to see the expression of horror on his face when he swings the door open.
Chapter 12. Brad. I'm pathetic. I've spent all evening doing my best to stay busy, waiting for Hannah to ring the doorbell, trying to keep my mind off of her and on other things. I paid bills, I finished hanging some cabinets in my garage, and I gave Sadie a bath, much to her dismay. I've had music playing through the house as I putter around, pretending that I'm not thinking about Hannah and her beautiful blue eyes, her perfect skin, the way she laughs when we're being silly, or the way she moans when I'm making her crazy. But as soon as I'm distracted by something, my mind wanders back to her, and I can't help but wonder what she's doing and why in the hell she's not here yet. Just as I finish folding a load of laundry, there's a knock on the front door. I grin and hurry over, swing it open, and standing before me is Hannah, soaking wet, covered in glitter. A black eye. Anger, swift and hot, surges through me, but before I can ask who the hell did this to her, she smiles brightly and says, Oh, my God, I had so much fun. She walks past me into the living room, drops her shopping bags and purse on my couch, and greets an excited Sadie, giving the dog pets and kisses, transferring the glitter to the clean animal. Hannah? Yeah? She swings around to look at me. Oh, sorry, I should have done this first. She launches herself into my arms and kisses me soundly, twisting her fingers in the hair at the back of my neck. You smell good, she murmurs. You don't, I laugh and set her down. Have you been drinking? Oh, yeah, she replies with a snort. I didn't have to work, so I had some wine. And you drove here? She immediately scowls. Hell no, I don't have my car. I walked here. I'm not my father. Oh, I'm sorry, of course. I'm completely thrown. This is so unlike Hannah. I'm not sure how to react, but she looks happy, so there's that. Who the fuck had their hands on you? Huh? The black eye. She frowns and feels her face, and then laughs again. Oh, that was Grace. She likes it rough. She snorts again, dissolving in laughter. It doesn't hurt. I can't believe Jenna let you walk here, I mutter. But Hannah shakes her head. I insisted it felt good, she shivers. But now I'm getting cold. You need a hot shower. I take her hand and lead her into my bathroom. I turn on the water to heat up, then turn to her and have the pleasure of stripping her bare. You even have glitter in your navel. Now I don't have to have it pierced. She's grinning from ear to ear. I'm glad you had fun, sweetheart. I had more than fun. She grips onto my shoulders to steady herself as I pull her wet panties down her legs. I had a blast. We shopped a ton, and I met some new people. How is it that I've lived here for 5 years, and there are still so many people I don't know? I guide her into the shower and shut the glass door, still listening to her talk. I should know more people, she continues, but I work too much. It feels good to finally feel like I'm part of this community. You are a part of the community. You're sweet. She clears the fog from the glass and smiles out at me. Brad? Yes, Hannah. Can you please come in here and help me wash this glitter off? She bats her eyelashes, making me grin. Pretty please?
I'll never say no to getting naked with her. Ever. If I come in there, it may not stop at washing glitter.
Oh, good.
I hurry out of my clothes and join her. What do you need?
Besides you?
Yes. She passes me the washcloth that she's soaped up.
I think my back is dirty.
She spins around, and she's right. There's glitter everywhere, so I get to work, washing it off, then rinsing the cloth over and over again until it's gone. She turns around and points to her breasts, not saying a word. I lather fresh soap on the cloth and wash her chest, her belly, and sides. And then she bites her lip and points to her neck.
I don't see any glitter there.
It's there, she replies. Her breathing is faster as I drag the wet cloth over her neck. I push her out of the water and against the wall. And she surprises me by resting her foot up on the bench and points to her inner thigh.
Right there.
Wordlessly, I wash her inner thighs up to the crease of her legs, not touching her pussy.
Brad, she says.
Mm-hmm.
Right here.
She points to her center, and I immediately lower to my knees, staring in awe at the beauty of her. Her clit is swollen with desire, as are her lips, and I've never wanted someone so bad in my damn life. Rather than use the washcloth, I lean in and lick her, from pussy to clit and back again, before pulling her lips into my mouth and sucking.
Harder, she says, panting.
I comply, using my teeth a bit as well, and she's writhing against the wall as she grabs my hair in a death grip. I push her leg up higher, sure to keep her balance with my other hand, and go to town on her, licking and sucking, biting and nibbling until she cries out in absolute pleasure. I stand and boost her up against the wall, then push inside her.
You're so fucking wet.
Turned on, she mutters and squeezes herself around me.
You turn me the hell on, Brad Hull.
I grin against her neck and pound her against the wall, unable to go slow or soft. Slow or soft doesn't fit our mood tonight. We're ravenous, and I'm going to take and take until neither of us can stand it anymore. Can't get enough of you. Good. She bites my shoulder, and that's it. I can't do this against the wall anymore, so I flip off the water and carry her, dripping wet, to my guest room, lay her down and continue to feast on her, her tits, her pussy, every bit of her. And she's giving it back just as fiercely. Her hips buck, her hands grab, and she's kissing and biting every piece of flesh she can find. It's like we're crazy animals, unable to stop consuming each other. I pull out and flip her over, slap her ass, and plunge inside again. Fucking her until we're both crying out, coming hard. And when we're done, I carry her back to my bed, tuck us both in, and begin again, unable to keep my hands off of her. I'm sober now, she says with a lazy smile, and opens up for me beautifully, and thank goodness, I definitely want to remember this tomorrow. We should sleep at some point tonight, Hannah says, a few hours later. We're in the kitchen making pancakes. You said you're hungry. I am. She grins and passes me the eggs. She's sitting on the counter, wearing one of my CFPD t-shirts, her hair a riot of red. She's adorable. But you have to work in the morning. I've survived on little sleep before. Once the batter is mixed, I set to work, pouring it on my skillet. While I wait for it to be ready to flip, I settle between her thighs at the counter and kiss her soundly. You're damn gorgeous, Hannah. I must be a mess, she says, wrinkling her nose. I don't think we got all the glitter off. I'll be cleaning glitter out of my house for weeks. I'm sorry. It's okay. It'll bring back happy memories every time. She drags her fingertips down my face and her expression is suddenly serious. What is it? She shakes her head and breaks eye contact, looking at my hair as she runs her fingers through it. I take her hand in mine and kiss her palm, then lay it against my cheek. Talk to me, Han. It's quiet in the house, dark aside from the lights under the cabinets, setting the room in a low glow. You need to flip the pancakes, she says, and kisses my forehead before I move to the skillet and give them a flip, but before I can return to her, she jumps off the counter and retrieves two plates, the butter and syrup, and the moment from a few moments ago is lost. I can't believe how hungry I am, she says. These three are ready. Gimme. I put the pancakes on her plate and then pour two more for me and turn to watch her slather butter and syrup all over her middle-of-the-night snack. These are so good, she says after taking a big bite. Who knew sex could make a girl so hungry? I'd better stock up on pancake mix. She winks at me, her mouth full. I plan to keep you starving. Right on. When mine are finished, I turn off the skillet and join her at the table to eat with her. It's a simple thing, having an after-sex snack with her, but it's intimate. It makes me feel closer to her. I glance up in time to see her eyes are heavy. I think we've finally worn you out, she smiles softly. Yeah, I'm tired. What's wrong? I ask when she frowns. I have a bit of a headache. I hope I'm not developing migraines. I just shake my head and take my last bite. You drank too much, that's all. We put our dishes in the sink, and I lead her to my bed, anxious to feel her skin on skin again. Why do you always think that something's wrong? I ask softly. She thinks about it for a moment, her eyes closed. Because I know too much about medicine. That's what Drake says, anyway. What do you think? I think it's part of the anxiety. I worry, she yawns. I don't think I've ever talked about this with anyone except Drake, and even he only knows a little of it. I want to know everything about you, I reply, honestly. Not to judge you, but to learn you. I know. I feel the same. She turns on her side and looks up at me. Why does it always feel safer to talk about things in the dark? Because we feel hidden here? Safe? I guess so. She scoots closer to me and threads her leg through mine.
I've always been a worrier. I don't remember a time when I wasn't. It's probably a chemical imbalance. The anxiety, I mean. And there are meds I can take, but it's been there for so long, I'm pretty good at managing it. Hiding it, I correct her.